I'm okay with people voting a different way than me, as long as you're okay to own it.
Hey, No Eye listeners, it's 2024, a presidential election year, and you know what that means. Things are likely to get confusing, chaotic, and maybe even a little crazy. Are you prepared to engage politics and culture this year? We want to help you know how to engage wisely and know why you're doing it. So this next series, Know About Political Engagement, will cover everything from the basics of voting to navigating controversial conversations in a heated political environment. Are you ready to know why? Let's get started. Welcome to the Know Why podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about politics, specifically, how do you vote? How do you know who to vote for? How do you make sure that you can walk to the polls with confidence, knowing exactly what you're doing? And this is important because if you haven't noticed, it's an election year. And so you're going to be hearing a lot about elections and voting and everything in the media. And you want to make sure that you can get involved and you know how to do it. And for a lot of listeners, maybe they haven't voted a lot in the past, or this might be the first time that they're old enough to vote. So we want this episode to be helpful for you and equip you to be able to have confidence and know what you're doing when you go to the polls. And here to discuss that with us is Lisa Hendrickson. Thank you for being with us today, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
So Lisa serves on the State Republican Executive Committee for Senate District 12 in Texas. And she's a native of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who now lives in Argyle, Texas with her husband, John. Lisa has a diverse background in education, communication, and political science. During her undergrad years, she began volunteering on local campaigns in Montana, which parlayed into running a successful statewide campaign. After the birth of their son, Lisa began to teach government and civics in secondary grades while living in New Mexico, Oregon, and California. She completed her Master of Education and returned to Texas in 2006, at which point she was led into the realm of marketing, public relations, and politics. Lisa spent 7 years in television and production marketing before stepping out on her own in 2013. She volunteers for various political campaigns and causes and is heavily involved in fundraising, event management for several campaigns and nonprofits, as well as podcast production. And Lisa is currently the campaign manager for Mitch Little from House District 65 and Andy Hopper from House District 64 and the executive producer for the Steadfast Loyal podcast with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. So she knows her stuff and is here to kind of give us a rundown on what we need to know when we are voting and getting involved. So Lisa, thank you again for being here. Obviously, you've got a lot of experience in this realm, but can you tell us a little bit more about your background? And did you always want to be working in politics?
I don't really think anybody starts with wanting to be involved in politics. I think it's in your blood in some aspects, but there's something, I would say there's probably a catalyst that something happens when you're in an election cycle. For me, when I was in kindergarten, there was something called a weekly reader. So for a lot of your listeners, I'm 54, so I don't even think that exists anymore. Yet I came home from school, and this the normal question is, what'd you do in school today? Mm-hmm. And my mom got the response of, I voted for president, which uh-huh. caused somewhat of a, you know, tilt of the head. Uh-huh. And I voted for Gerald Ford. And so immediately began to like, well, I voted, so I kind of want to pay attention to this. Yeah. My family was political, very always involved. I had an uncle that was a lobbyist. My grandfather was always yelling and screaming at President Carter, who truly I didn't realize that my grandfather was a Democrat because he was always yelling at Jimmy Carter. So mm-hmm. I thought he was a Republican, but turns out he just didn't like Jimmy Carter. And so I started watching the race for president, and then that just kind of evolved into paying attention. I've always been very justice minded. Mm-hmm. So anything that did not seem just, I wanted it to be fixed. And my mom at a very early age said to my tirade in the third grade that things weren't fair and that wasn't justice of some sort. And she said, what are you gonna do about it? Mm. So that just kind of started down the road of being involved. Because if you're not involved in politics, in my opinion, it will control you. Mm. So when people say they don't get involved, I think that's a frightening thing because politics literally controls every area of your life.
Wow. If you don't get involved in politics, it will control you. I've never heard it put like that, but yeah, you're so right. And then your mom's question, what are you going to do about it? I know for Gen Z and a lot of our listeners, millennials, I'm a millennial, you know, issues of justice, social issues are really important to us, important to a lot of people. And, you know, just ranting about it, not going to change anything. So how do we actually represent our values and make a difference? So let's talk about preparing to vote. Obviously, that's kind of the very first step. If you're going to get involved in politics, you have to at least be voting. But, you know, I actually voted the other day on Super Tuesday. I didn't vote early. I had the opportunity to, and I wish that I had, because I stood in line for an hour and 20 minutes, but I didn't leave. I stayed in line. But I felt really bad for this one guy I saw, because he looked young, like, you know, maybe a first time mm-hmm. voter. And I was entering the line and he had finally got up to the table. And so I knew that he'd probably, you know, they were like, it's an hour and a half wait. So I knew he'd probably been in line for a long time. But then he was turned away and I couldn't exactly hear what they were saying, but I could, it was kind of, you know, watching them talk. And, you know, he hadn't brought what he needed, or in some way wasn't prepared all the way. And clearly he wanted to vote, like he was dedicated and stood in line and all of that. But, you know, he wasn't prepared all the way. So don't want that to happen. If you're going to the polls, obviously, if you take the time and you're invested, you want to be able to cast your vote. So let's start with what you need at first. I know about half of states allow you to register to vote on the same day that you vote. But either way, you've got to be registered. And in a lot of states, you have to register pretty far in advance. So can you talk a little bit about the registration issue and people making sure that they are registered?
Well, I think one of the biggest issues for people in Texas is that we have such a migration that's occurring here in Texas that a lot of people assume that if I came from Colorado, which does allow you to register to vote same day, which is frightening to me in some aspects, because really, you, in theory, we have 2 weeks of early voting. Mm-hmm. I can vote here in the state of Texas early, and then I can drive myself to Colorado and register to vote and then vote in the same state. So we require you to register to vote at least 2 weeks. I think it's 2 to 3 weeks before early voting. Mm-hmm. And we have 2 weeks to early vote. And then, of course, we have election day. There are many that have the opinion, and I'm one of them, that you don't need 2 weeks to vote early. There's a lot of concerns with the ability to manipulate votes. If you have 10 days of early voting, then you shut everything off on Friday at 7, and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday to do things on the back end. I think 2020 brought a lot of things to the surface that a lot of people have had concerns about. We know there's been cheating in elections since, you know, Kennedy in Illinois and Chicago. It was LBJ in Texas many decades ago. So election, I always tell people, vote on election day. It's harder to steal your vote on election day. It's harder for them to manipulate votes between the end of early voting and on election day. When it comes to voting itself, you have to be I hope you still have to be an American citizen. Not all states are requiring that. And so you need to be able to prove that you live where you live mm-hmm. to be able to vote. The gentleman that was turned away, there could have been several instances. If on election day in Denton County, you have to vote in your precinct. Mm-hmm. Denton County allows you to vote anywhere in the county in early voting. Every county is different. We have 254 counties in the state of Texas, and they vote.
And it's different state by state.
It's different state by state, and it's different in 254 counties. You have paper ballots in some, vote centers in others, and so people will move to the state and be confused because California, Colorado, and everybody votes different. And then if you live in a county that, for example, is Collin County and they have vote centers, they can vote anywhere they want all the time during early and election day, whereas in Denton County, if you move from Collin to Denton, which is literally right next door, you would anticipate the rules would be the same, but they're not. So there's quite a bit of confusion when it comes to voting, which complicates matters for a lot of voters, and they get frustrated. And if you've stood in line, and if you're not in line by 7 o'clock and they move your polling location, or you have to go to another polling location, you could potentially not be able to vote. And that is incredibly frustrating to a lot of people.
Yeah. So what, and I know, again, it varies state by state and county by county, but who should people call, or, you know, what should they look up? What office to say, hey, How do I make sure that I'm registered to vote in my precinct or where I live mm-hmm. and that I am ready to go? Is that some sort of local official that they can check mm-hmm. with?
You have, if you're in Denton County, for example, you'd go to votedenton.gov. You can type in your information for a sample ballot, your first name, last name, date of birth, and it will pull up your entire sample ballot for that election cycle, and it'll tell you where you would vote early voting as well as where you would vote on election day. And if you're in Dallas County, Collin County, they all have the same thing. I'm not exactly sure the website for every one of them, but if you type in Dallas County elections, it will direct you. It should direct you to number one spot as to where you can decipher where and how the rules for you to vote. And again, look at your ballot. To be able to say, at least I would say you're going to need someone that's in the fight for and is politically astute. You should be able to look at your ballot. And for the most part, you can know where to go to get information. But for newcomers, it can be incredibly overwhelming, especially criminal court of appeals, Texas Supreme Court issues. A lot of people will say, I know who I'm voting for president.
Right.
Or I know who I'm going to vote for Congress. But when you get much past that, I can't tell you how many people will come out of a poll and say, I wish I would have taken red wave voter slate card or your D3C card or your TTP and all these different organizations that are out there to help people get educated, because they get in and they're like, I didn't know anything about the Criminal Court of Appeals. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, if you don't know who to vote for, just skip it. Mm-hmm. Because
don't guess.
This is not the time. Absolutely. When you have criminal court of appeals and Supreme Court justices and district courts, the last thing you need to do is guess.
Right. And so I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to talk about those other elections as well. And again, I know we can't get super specific because we've got, you know, listeners from all over the country, but can you give us an example of maybe some of the main offices that people are going to find, you know, regardless of where they live in their town, things that really impact where you live locally, your local community, that you should be paying attention to and looking to see who's running for those offices?
There's a book called All Politics is Local, and I wish I remembered the name of the author.
We can look that up and link it.
It's a fabulous book. And one of the things that becomes very overwhelming for people is that you're programmed, whether you realize it or not, to think DC, DC, DC.
Right.
You're not educated in the aspect of all politics is local and what's happening in your own backyard, your school board, your city or town councils, your planning and zoning, your parks and rec. Make decisions every week that affect your life, whether it's property taxes, if you live in a state that has property taxes, sales tax, the percentage that police departments and firefighters get, mm-hmm. and the aspects of whether or not you have a park that's preserved by an endowment, or whether or not your taxes are going to go up your next cycle. So those elections have the worst turnout.
Yeah.
By far.
And it's not always in the year that you're voting for president, too. It comes up in the middle.
And they normally, in the state of Texas, they're in May. Mm-hmm. So they don't even coincide with, and there are a lot of officials that don't want them to coincide, because an ignorant population benefits, how shall I say, people that enjoy the power. Mm-hmm. They don't really, it's easy to manipulate people if they don't have all the information. You have here in the state of Texas, we, thank God, only have our legislatures in session every other year. They're not constantly in session like DC is. Mm-hmm. So they have less of an opportunity to add more laws and more rules. But you are the propaganda that hits the normal American, no matter where you live, is watch the shiny object, watch DC, watch what they're doing. And they're not informed at a local level. And it's a frightening thing, because that affects your daily lives in so many ways. And if people can pull back from the federal and literally start attending school board meetings, start attending your town council meetings, start asking questions, mm-hmm. because they all sit down with each one of those state reps, your state senators, your city council, and ask them hard questions. And the left, and I'm trying not to get too partisan, but those that are funded by the George Soros, those that would align with more communism, socialism mindsets, they want you uninformed because it's a whole lot easier to manipulate a class of people when you're uninformed. There are a lot of people that believe socialism is a beautiful thing, but I'm pretty confident that if we send them to Venezuela, they would do everything they could to get out. I used to teach high school.
And we're seeing that.
Oh, yeah. I used to teach high school, and I heard a professor do this in his class, and I thought it was brilliant. They had just taught this entire session on communism and socialism in different classes across the world, and predominantly the students in this college-level class loved the idea of socialism.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got their grades back for a paper, he decided to give them a first-class look at communism. Mm-hmm. And he had averaged everybody's grades.
Yeah.
So everyone that studied their butts off and might have gotten, you know, a 98 or 100 versus the one that partied all night long and got a 52, he averaged everybody's.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that had partied and got 52 were pretty happy with a 78 or something. But mm-hmm. those that had really diligently done their work. And the class is erupting in the conversation, and the professor says, I don't understand why you're so upset. I did exactly what you all said you wanted, socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you put it, when you have to bring it home for people,
mm-hmm.
you know, if whether or not you're going to work or you're going to not work, I'm just going to average everything. And I don't really know anyone that thinks that's a good idea. Maybe the one that partied all night and got a 52, but for the majority mm-hmm. of us, it's if we don't take back the local politics, our country is not going to be, we're not going to hand down to our kids and our grandkids what was handed down to us.
Right.
We leave a legacy either way.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what legacy will we live?
Yeah. Such a great thought. And also, you know, again, the national politics matter, of course, but when it comes to daily, just kind of, you know, what's impacting the people around you, what's impacting your neighbors, how do you help to create a better community for the people where you live and where your kids are going to grow up someday, or, you know, the friends that in your local community, that a lot of that comes down to the local politics. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that and also mentioned talking with your local representatives or city council, going to, you know, city council meetings or town hall meetings. Because a lot of these, you know, offices, they have local offices where you can actually go and visit them. A lot of people don't take advantage of that. Or I know in my town, they'll have, you know, coffees with the police department, coffees with, you know, city council candidates and things like that. Not very well attended,
mm-mm.
you know, but you could actually go to talk with local government officials and say what's going on and get a feel for who they are. But, you know, on that note, when it comes to, okay, there's so much that's going on that I don't know about, or like, oh, I saw a Facebook post today that there was a local election, but I guess I missed it because, you know, I didn't know about it. You know, if you're following mainstream media or national media, you're not going to get information about your local election. And a lot of people don't trust the media anyway. And there's probably a lot of reasons for that. Mm-hmm. We've discussed that a little bit on the No Way podcast in the past, and we will in the future as well. But what's almost even more scary to me is that a lot of young people get their news primarily from social media, which, one, it's not meant to be a journalistic publication. We know that, you know, the insiders who have created the social media that we use say it's biased because of the algorithm. So, you know, they're mm-hmm. blowing the whistle on the inside. So you're not going to get trustworthy news. So where can you get information about your local candidates and your local elections and say what's going on? I'll give one tip and then I want to hear what you have to say. Just because I have a background in journalism, you know, you always have to take media with a grain of salt because no one's truly unbiased, but you are more likely to find just like practical information that you need if you subscribe to your local newspaper, because they're less like they're in, you know, so many of our national media organizations are operated by people who are in big metropolitan areas. And, you know, they're from those areas. So when they're reporting on, you know, the middle of nowhere in the Midwest, they're not going to, there's built-in bias regardless of whatever political bias might be built in on top. So you're going to find out more information with, I won't say no, but less bias if you are following your local news stations and local newspapers. So that's my tip. But what about you, Lisa? How do you tell people to keep up with what's going on locally?
You have to want the truth. You have to be willing to dig in. You have to be willing to go down the rabbit hole and find out for yourself and trace the money and then ask the hard questions and then also be able to look yourself in the mirror and go, I might not be on the right side of this argument. I might be wrong. And I don't think enough of us do that. Working in the political realm for so long, I am consistently frustrated with people telling candidates or elected officials, you need to do this, you need to do that, what are you going to do for me? And you need to do this and help me learn and help me know. And I'm thinking to myself, I think our founding fathers and mothers would absolutely be pulling out their hair right now, because we've become a nation or a people that expect to be spoon-fed mm-hmm. instead of our founding fathers expecting you to know what's going on and to stay up on what's going on and to watch their votes. I'm mesmerized by people that, well, my congressman said, I'm like, well, did you seriously think your congressman was going to tell you he just gave himself a raise and carved out all of these special little perks for him and his lobbyists? But did you think he was going to really tell you that? Mm-hmm. But you have to go and read the bill, which I do realize that that's kind of an anomaly because they don't even read them. Mm-hmm. So it's a hard place for anyone that really, really wants the truth if you don't live it to do. And anytime it's time to vote, without fail, 150 people will text me from early voting to election day. Mm-hmm. Who am I supposed to vote for? What am I voting for?
Yeah.
And okay, that's great. At least I know that, in my opinion, they're going to vote right. But I also want to scream my head off and go, do you not care enough to make sure that you own your vote? Mm-hmm. And that's concerning. And it is a lot of information coming at us. I'm not even on... I'm on Facebook because I kind of have to be with different campaigns, and it's that one source that I've agreed to, but everybody else on the team does all the others and I kind of get screenshots. Mm-hmm. But that you're right. People literally trust because some celebrity said that this person is the right person. You have been people that President Trump endorsing people that people literally came to the polls and said, I'm voting for this person because President Trump did. Mm-hmm. And then you point out, well, did you know this, this, and this? Well, no, but then why would President Trump endorse them? And I'm not saying that people shouldn't endorse. I'm just saying,
look at it for yourself.
Look at it for yourself, because at some point you shouldn't trust your salvation on anybody else. Mm-hmm. At the end of our lives, we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of every single thing we did. And I'm okay with people voting a different way than me, as long as you're okay to own it.
Yeah.
And that's where we are right now is people are owning based on a bot or some person that endorsed something else. And you think that's a great idea. It's kind of like you're going to drop your kids off with someone that you just met yesterday at the grocery store. Or are you really going to vet them? Mm-hmm. Are you going to dig into who they are? And if you could background check your babysitter, you probably would. Mm-hmm. But we trust people based on a recommendation from somebody that we don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's a little scary.
Be sure to tune in next week to part 2 of our interview with Lisa Hendrickson.